Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, today is December 1st, and we begin our Advent journey together. And so if you have your family devotionals, that you can read along with me. If you don't, that's okay, because I will read it to you. As you know, throughout Advent, in your homes, as a family, you will do these devotions, hopefully. But we will use them also on Sundays and Wednesdays together, since we are a family. So our devotion for today is titled, Big and Tiny. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John chapter 1. Advent for us starts where it always has, with the one who created everything. It starts with God the Father, who made us and loved us, and with God the Son, who came to be our Savior. And it starts with the Holy Spirit, who gives us faith in Jesus Christ. But it also starts with you in all of your tininess. Somebody sitting in a comfortable chair, reading in the lamplight, a parent putting the little ones to bed with a prayer and a story about Jesus, a driver with your eyes on the road, watching out for hazards while the back of your mind is preoccupied with work or errands. You are a single speck of human life among billions of others on a troubled planet in an ordinary galaxy of the immense universe. And yet Advent is about you, because you are the reason Jesus came. You matter to him. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, why should he care about you? And yet he does. He has told you so. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are worth far more than many sparrows. Luke chapter 12. So here we are in Advent, watching and praying and marveling as we see how the great God himself, the Most High God, comes down to us as a tiny baby himself, dependent on us for nursing and diapers, changing and holding and singing to sleep. And we rejoice, because we too depend on him who grew up and suffered and died and rose again for our sakes. Because he loves us, our tiny lives have become infinitely meaningful. He has made us the adopted children of God himself. Community, submission, surrender, Christianity. To me, there's one thing that jumps out in the devotion today and for the readings that were set for today, and that is the idea that here in Advent again, Christ Jesus shows us the great and wonderful mystery, the beautiful mystery of what it means to be in community and fellowship together. That is what Christianity is all about. In fact, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the great Lutheran pastor during World War II, writes himself in the book Life Together that Christianity can only be experienced in fellowship and community. As we think about this mystery of God, this beautiful, wonderful mystery and plan of God, our God becoming human flesh, it's amazing to see how God himself surrenders to you and me. Really, it is quite amazing when you think about it. As the lesson for today said, the devotion, we're just a tiny speck in all of humanity. But the fact is, we matter so much to God that this great, infinite, all wonderful being God, the creator of the whole universe, came down to surrender himself for you and for me. He surrendered himself in submission to us. That's a beautiful thing. He surrendered himself as he became a tiny little baby born in a manger. Think about it. The Word of God becoming human flesh in the form of a baby. God was dependent upon us. Just as you and I, when we came into this world, we were dependent on our parents. We needed somebody to feed us, to change our diapers. You know, I've always thought it's funny, the cycle of life. We're born in the world, coming in, needing people to feed us and in diapers. And when we get old, we leave the world in diapers, needing people to feed us. Isn't that interesting? But it shows that God surrendered himself in submission to you and to me. He was dependent upon us for his sustenance, for his life. Isn't that strange to think about? His parents wouldn't have taken care of him. If they wouldn't have fed him, would he have lived? No, because he was dependent upon people. And then he lived this life and he surrendered himself to the temptation of Satan for you and for me. Think about that for a second. But the beautiful thing is, even though he went into that temptation for you and for me, he didn't sin. No, he lived the perfect life so that later on we would get his perfection, his righteousness in front of God. He surrendered himself in full submission to the mockery of a man-made trial. Here is the ultimate God who on the final day will have this trial. We've already talked about that a couple weeks ago. You and I are going to go in front of him. We're going to hear not guilty, welcome into heaven. Unfortunately, those who don't believe will be held accountable and they will hear the trial. Their sins counted against them. Here's the God who is the great king, the great judge, surrendering and submitting himself to this terrible human trial where he was spit upon and mocked and hit because he loved us. On trial for us, taking our place in a trial that should have been our trial, where we were mocked and spit upon and abused. Then he did even more. He surrendered himself by dying on a cross, taking our place, taking our death upon himself, the very death that you and I deserved because of our sinfulness, Jesus took upon himself. In fact, he surrendered and submitted so much that Scripture says, he who had no sin, Jesus, became sin on that cross. He not only died for our sin, he became the essence of sin. He became sin itself to take all the wrath and punishment of God upon himself to die for us, so that we might be forgiven and free in God's eyes. Then he continued to surrender as he descended into hell to proclaim victory to Satan, that sin, death, and the devil loses and we win. And 3 days later, he burst forth into joy to show the world his triumphant victory as he surrendered and submitted to his creation, so that we could be one with God again in perfect joy, in perfect peace, in perfect love. But wait a minute. This doesn't make sense. Because if you look at it from this viewpoint, Jesus came into this world and he surrendered and submitted for us. But if you look at it from another viewpoint, he did all of it for us as well. You see, the reality is, it's a great dichotomy. Not only did Jesus come to surrender and submit for us, he did this whole act of surrender and submission in Christian love and fellowship and community for us so that he could do it for us, so that we would be the benefits of all of these wonderful gifts of God, so that the eternal salvation, so that heaven would be our home, so that we would overcome sin, death, and the devil and be able to live eternally with God our Father who reigns on high, that we would partake of his perfect, unconditional, unending love and grace and mercy in our lives. He surrendered to us so that he could do it for us. He had to become like us so that he could win for us. This is the great and marvelous and beautiful plan of God the Father in his salvation. And the reality is, we need him. Just as he surrenders to us, we are called to surrender to him. You see, there is such beauty in this great and wonderful and glorious plan of salvation. Great and wonderful beauty. God shows in this wonderful gift how much we mean to him. Our devotion said that for today. We mean so much to him, more than any sparrow could ever mean to him, that he knows every hair on our heads, the scripture says for today. And for me, that's pretty easy since I don't have any. He hasn't lucked out with me. But he knows every hair on our head. What does that mean? He knows you so well, even your sins and your failures, and still yet he loves you because you have been baptized and brought into his glorious kingdom where your sins have been washed away so that you might be his forever. God wants us so much to be with him for eternity that he humbled himself, surrendered himself to the forces of humankind to win us to be with him forever. In humbling himself, he took care of everything we needed. Sometimes we get need and want messed up in our culture and society today. I may want an airplane. I may want an orange Lexus, which I've been wanting for 3 years and still haven't gotten it. But we may want these things, right? But it's a huge difference between need and want. God, as Luther talks about in the explanation to the Creed, has taken care of everything we need for this body, this life, and for our eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, all through the God who has come and submitted and surrendered to us. God shows us that love, Christianity, exists as we humble ourselves for the good of those around us. Here is the takeaway for today's message. As we look at what God has done for us in humbling himself, in surrendering, in submitting to his creation, we see the ultimate act of love in human flesh. It is in Christian community, the gift that God has given us in the body of Christ, you and I linked together through baptism in God's word and through the Holy Supper of communion. It is in this gift, as we surrender and submit to each other, we give up our own wants and desires. We give up our grudges. We forgive people. We build people up. We don't gossip. We help people who are in need. In surrendering ourselves and submitting to one another's, seeking the good of those around us, we fulfill this continued work of Jesus Christ in and amongst his body as believers. And in so doing, the love of God is tangible in our lives. His peace is tangible in our lives. His forgiveness is tangible in our lives as we celebrate that gift. But as we humble ourselves, as we live in Christian community and fellowship, so too in this way does Jesus Christ and his love come into the world around us. Because our call is not just to love, humble, and surrender ourselves to our fellow Christians. That's easy. Anyone can do that. But Jesus came into this world to save the whole world, John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world. It's in surrendering and submitting ourselves, our time, our talents, our treasures, in making friends with those in our neighborhood, in being examples of Christ in our workplaces and in our schools and in our families, in seeking out those who don't have a church home and those who don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, in surrendering our time, our talents, and our treasures, where we allow the love of God to enter into this world as the hands and the mouth and the feet of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. In essence, every day is Advent as we become Jesus Christ to everyone, no limitation, no matter what their sin, no matter what their life looks like. As we become the presence of Jesus and his love to everyone around us. After all, God didn't judge when he came in because he knew the world was already sinful. The world had been judged sinful. He came in love so that every person in all creation could experience the joy of his salvation. And in this way, Christ comes into our world in and through you and me. In the name of Jesus, amen.